I don't think I need to tell you this, but we live in some divided times. The division and distance between us sometimes seems deeper than it has been for a long time. And there's war in Ukraine and Gaza. There are deep fundamental differences in our nation's politics. We can't seem to agree on simple things that would make our lives better, especially for those who need it most. It's pretty easy to be cynical about where we're at and where we seem to be going. I often find myself in that cynical place. Things could be so much better, but it's hard to believe that we'll get there anytime soon. It's easy to be skeptical of people's intentions and to mistrust people's motives. We often seem to be so stuck in the darkness that we can't see the light. I recently stumbled on a story that speaker and storyteller Neil Ford tells about an experience that he had with his father in 1969. At the time, the Vietnam War and the Civil Rights Movement were almost literally tearing the country apart. John F. Kennedy had been shot in 1963, and then Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy about a year before the time when this story starts. Families and communities were divided. Hope was hard to come by, and it seemed like the whole country had lost its mind. Neil's father had grown up in the Depression, and the family was struggling. In the summer of 1969, his faith in humanity was at a pretty low point. Neil and his father were driving from LA to Oakland when the water pump blew out on their old 1960 Oldsmobile. Of course, this was way before cell phones, and they figured out that, or he figured out that they were about 9 or 10 miles from town. And just when they were ready to start walking, a young cowboy pulls up in a flatbed and offers to tow them into town. All his dad had on him was a Chevron gas card that was supposed to get them all the way through their trip. And he kept telling this guy, you know, I can't pay you, I can't pay you. The young guy looked at him and shakes his head and says, that's all right, I wasn't going to charge you. Now, it was Sunday, so when they rolled into town, nothing was open. So the cowboy goes to get his mechanic friend out of his house to go open up his garage to check on their car. And his dad tells the mechanic, hey, listen, I don't have any money. But the mechanic says, yeah, well, we'll work something out. But then the mechanic realizes that he doesn't have the parts on hand. So they go, he and the cowboy, go and get the auto parts store owner out of his house to open up his store to get the water pump and the other parts that they need. And his father is kind of going a little crazy. He says, okay, you guys, we really need to talk about how we're going to settle this. He just couldn't imagine anybody being this trusting about the money. So the cowboy says, look, if it'll make you feel better, I've got a whole bunch of watermelons I need to load onto my truck. It's pretty hot work, but if you guys would like to, you can help me load up my truck with these watermelons. And then if you help me, I'll pay for the part. So Neil and his dad go with the cowboy and they start unloading watermelons from a rail car. And it's very hot work, and within no time, they're soaked in sweat. And about 90 minutes later, the mechanic drives up in their car, and it's running like a top. Well, his dad is physically and emotionally drained, and he says, I really don't know how to thank you fellas. And as he turns and gets Neil to go into the car, the mechanic stops and says, whoa, where do you think you're going? And his dad stiffens up, and all this fear and distrust that he has in humanity comes to his face, and he's like a leopard ready to pounce. He's like, here it comes. here's the punchline to the story. This is what's going to happen. And the mechanic notices this and he says, oh, no, no. He says, my wife is making Sunday dinner and you and the boy need to come over, have dinner, take a shower, and get a clean shirt before you go on your way. They turned and headed back to LA. And when they got home, Neil crawled into bed and his dad came to his room, stood in the door and said, you listen to me, son. No matter what people tell you, or what you see on TV or read in the papers, that's how people really are. His faith in humanity had been restored. The world of 1969 didn't change, but they were both lifted out of that darkness. As we come to the end of our liturgical year, our liturgies give us messages of hope to persevere through the darkness, and to see the light that is Christ. We begin November with All Saints, and that points us to all those holy men and women who overcame the world and who still give us examples to live by today. Then we have All Souls, and we're called to remember our beloved dead. We remember them with hope and confidence in God's plan, and we believe that they are in God's hands. And we hear that hope does not disappoint. And in these last few weeks before Advent, we hear messages that draw our attention to the end and God's promises of salvation. Today, our readings in the book of Daniel and the Gospel of Mark point to God's promises of salvation and to the trials and tribulations that will come. Now, these are apocalyptic messages, and I'll admit it's easy to get stuck on the part about trials and tribulations and miss that message of hope that comes afterwards. But that's the intention of these messages, to reveal God's plan and action in the world and to give people faith and hope to get through those trials and tribulations. These messages look out to the end times, and they draw on the experiences that the people had, but that we all have, of God's mercy and loving kindness, to show what God has done, to help us see what God is doing, and to have faith on what God will do. Jesus uses symbolic imagery to reveal the difficult times that are going to come. The disciples would experience Jesus' passion and death, but they will also experience his resurrection. The early Christians would hear this gospel message and find the faith and courage and hope to persevere through the persecution that they would suffer. So while these stories look to the end of time and offer us hope, they also point to the trials and tribulations that come upon us as we navigate in this world. Jesus says that this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, either he's fibbing to the people who are listening to him because they did pass away and the world did not end, or he's telling us something more. In other words, each generation will experience trials and tribulations, and it will seem like it's the end of the world. But the promise is that God will not abandon his people. Jesus says that all these things you rely on might pass away, but his words, the good news, will not pass away. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. Just as the days grow shorter for us at this time of year, we know that they will lengthen again. Seasons pass, and new leaves will bud on the fig tree, and we'll know that summer is near. What seems like the end will bring joy and new life. And these messages also speak to our own lives. We all face death, trials, and tribulations in our lives. So it's easy to get stuck in the darkness, a darkness that's so deep that we have trouble seeing the light. If we pay attention only to the doom and devastation and danger, if all we see is the world crumbling into chaos, if we only focus on our experience of pain and loss, we can easily miss the light that is Christ in our midst, and we'll lose hope and miss out on the joy that God wants for all of us. Author and spiritual guide Henry Nouwen wrote, "People who have come to know the joy of God do not deny the darkness, but they choose not to live in it." This is certainly not easy, and it takes work. But it also takes other people in our lives to help us see those small flashes of light that is God's loving kindness and care. Neil and his father experienced a flash of light in a cowboy and a mechanic. That flash of light restored their hope. God shines light in the darkness, and that light brings joy. At midnight mass on Christmas, we'll hear the hopeful words of the prophet Isaiah. "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who dwell in the land of shadow, a light has appeared." We are the people who walk in darkness. We are the people who dwell in a land of shadow. Every year at this time, we are reminded that we have seen a great light, and we have the opportunity to live in that light and to be that light for others. May God's light continue to dispel our darkness, and may we point others to that light, that they may find joy and hope. Amen.